Okay, we'll get started. Won't come to official order until another few people come in. House Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance Committee today is going to hear House File 291, which will basically be the vehicle for our public safety omnibus bill. And members, I have a author's amendment to A2.
First the DE and then the A2?
Oh, the DE2 first. Well, that's right. We can't move the amendments until... Okay, when we get here, we'll move... What?
We have a quorum.
Oh, we have a quorum then. Okay, we'll bring the meeting to official order and start out with a roll call.
Representative Cornish?
Here.
Representative Johnson?
Here.
Representative Considine? Representative Dean? Representative Flanagan? Representative Pertas? Representative Hillstrom?
Here.
Representative Howe?
Here.
Representative Lohmer?
Here.
Representative Lucero?
Here.
Representative Neuberger?
Ready, sir.
Representative O'Neill?
Here.
Representative Quam?
Present.
Representative Rosenthal? Representative Schoen? Representative Ward?
Here.
And Representative Zerwas.
Okay, entertain a motion to approve the minutes of April 6th. Is that it?
Yep. So moved.
Who did?
So moved.
Representative O'Neill moves the minutes of April 6th. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now, Chair will move House File 291 as our omnibus bill and also move the DE2 amendment to get it in the shape we'd like it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And then the A2 amendment, and then I'll explain both. You have the A2 amendment in your packet. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, member, House File 291 is our omnibus bill. included in it for the bills that we've included. This would be Representative Heinzman's. Oh, this is Erdolf here. This is the stop arm violation for a school bus. And we've heard that. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've heard that one, and Representative Heinzman's is Section 2, a repeated violation of driving without a license. And then what's Section? And then Section 3 would be the Representative Lohmer's bill. All right, and we don't have any other amendments. The A2 amendment, if you'll recall last year our conference committee report, we allowed the disaster contingency account under the DPS to be used for pay costs for the avian influenza emergency response activity through 2017, and this amendment would, they haven't had access to the funds, so Hamilton, Representative Hamilton requested the A2 amendment on behalf of the Ag Committee, and this would extend the eligibility to access the fund through 2019. It clarifies that other potential animal disaster emergencies could qualify to access the fund if needed. Any discussion on either of the amendments? And this, the theory behind the bill that we have here in front of us today is that this was not a funding year, and we were fairly generous last year, and so we didn't include any funding issues per se to the agencies. There are a few bills moving around in other committees that went through here that will be funded eventually out of the other bills category in Ways and Means Committee. So, questions to the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I noticed that the Senate companion has quite a fiscal note and actually did fund a number of the proposals that were in the governor's budget requests. And Mr. Chair, I am carrying the bill, which is the governor's budget requests, and this committee didn't hear it. So my question is, how do you intend to conferee the bill as it moves forward, given that we've listened to no testimony about what those proposals are, and there's such a broad gap in the lack of funding in this bill versus what we're seeing come out of the Senate?
The best answer I could come up with is that, you know, we didn't plan on funding those things, so we really didn't want to hear them if we didn't plan on funding, because it wasn't a funding year. And so going into the conference committee, I think it'll be similar to the sessions we've had before, where we've taken things that were completely off the map and plugged them in. The Senate doesn't like to do that, but if they want a deal, they'll have to do that. And so we'll negotiate those in the conference committee. And I understand there's might be a couple people here today that want to testify, but it's not impossible. Naturally, we know the governor sometimes get what he wants, and it's a negotiation back and forth. And so if it's a get out of Dodge deal and there has to be something funded like every year, I don't know what will it be agreed to, but we'll probably discuss it at that time in conference, because we are quite a bit different. I wouldn't doubt that there's a lot of policy things too in there that we don't carry. Yes, Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then do you anticipate that this bill will continue to travel on its own, or do you think that it will get wrapped into one larger omnibus bill that will be coming out of Ways and Means? Sometimes you see, like when we were in the majority, we had that War of 1812 bill where every single thing was in it. And in the event it is put in a larger omnibus bill, do you believe that there will be someone on that conference committee that would be representing the this committee?
On the first question, I don't know what's going to happen. I seriously haven't had any direction for certain whether this bill will travel on its own or whether it's contained in a larger omnibus bill. I've heard that also talked about. But if it is contained in a larger bill, I would try to make sure that that this committee is included.
One final question, Mr. Chair, and
yeah,
I'll make a statement at the end. Mr. Chair, I noticed that there are very few provisions that are in this bill, and you did explain why there are few. My question is, this is the first omnibus public safety bill that I really haven't seen kind of bipartisan bills in. Can I ask what your thinking was about which of these few bills that you put in and then sent the rest on their own? I'm just trying to get a sense for the committee and for the public about why these particular bills and not some of the other ones that we've moved on.
You know, Representative Hilstrom, there wasn't a real concentrated plan or strategy on how that developed. Personally, I didn't really want an omnibus bill myself, but I figured if they're going to have an omnibus bill on that side, it would be nice to have some placeholders on our side. And so we put together this list. However, there are bipartisan bills that have passed through the committee. They're still alive and well on the House floor, and that I would support.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I'm just happy to listen to the testimony, and then I'll have one final statement before we vote on the bill.
Anybody else or no? And if not, our first testifier will be who? I think Commissioner Dolman and Commissioner Roy. Did you want to testify? Oh, Commissioner Roy then. Welcome, Commissioner. State your name and title and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Tom Roy. I am the Commissioner of Corrections for the state of Minnesota. I'm reflecting on the chair's comments that were just made with Representative Hilstrom, and I will be very brief with my comments. It is very conspicuous that there is an absence of funding for the Department of Corrections in this bill in terms of supplemental requests that the governor has made. I know the committee is aware of those requests, so I won't detail them, but they certainly reflect some important initiatives and operating necessities for the Department of Corrections, including employee compensation. We would like to expand the challenge incarceration program to deal with our overcrowding issue. The support of health services and nursing that were 24/7 nursing for institutions that the legislative auditor identified in their report. We have some archaic information technologies that need attention. And we have just completed a very intensive staffing analysis that indicates to us that we are short security staffing in a number of areas and in a number of facilities. So those are the main considerations in the governor's request, and we have worked closely with the Senate on some of those same initiatives. And also for consideration in the bill is the last notation of the transfer of funds, section $4 million from MNCOR out of the revolving fund. And we have provided you with a handout that is multicolored that is in front of you. And if in fact there might be some of you committee members that aren't familiar with the business operation of MNCOR, it is a standalone business operated under the auspices of the Department of Corrections. It contributes positively to our corrections environment. It contributes to the state. And the last chart, the circular chart on the back page, shows how MNCOR wages positively impact a number of victims, restitution, and very positive child support, very positively contributing to the betterment of those correctional court orders. And so we just feel that it's important for you to have the information about MNCOR so that if in fact this $1 million is part of this bill, you have the best information to make that decision. We have staff in the audience. If in fact you have any specific questions about any of those considerations, we will gladly answer those questions. If not, Mr. Chair, that concludes my testimony.
Okay, Commissioner, I couldn't agree with you more about MNCOR. That's why we only took $1 million. And we realized we opened Pandora's box here, and there might be other amendments on the floor or Ways and Means or somewhere on the MNCOR, but I'm going to try to resist any more taking of those funds. The last time we talked to the people there, they told us about the committed funds and the money that they would like to spend, but we figured that we could draft $1 million out of there without hurting the program. But we do believe in it, and when we've toured the prisons, we've seen the good use of the MNCOR funds. So, Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. Between now and the time that we see this bill on the floor, in the event that this budget target doesn't grow, it would be important that we know and understand what the consequences to the department would be in the event there were no additional resources provided, whether we would just see initiatives not start or whether we would see layoffs or what those kinds of consequences might be. If you could please get that information for us between now and whenever this comes up.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilstrom, we have prepared those impacts for past committee. I will just put a description on it that it would be significant impact without supports in these areas.
And I don't know if Representative Hilstrom would agree with me or not, but it's harder actually to govern, and I think, in a year of surplus than it is in deficit. In a year of deficit, everybody just wants to be in hull defilade, term used in the military, where they hide and they just leave us alone, but in the surplus, everybody is after you. And sometimes we wonder if it's just a use for the money or if why they didn't present us with a deficiency bill. But I know that your needs, like you say, and the wage compensation are real, and some of the others. So I wasn't referring to corrections. And corrections probably wasn't treated quite as generously as some of the agencies in the past. So we'll certainly listen to you and what your impact statement is when it comes out. Representative Quam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at the bottom of the, I guess, the back of it, where it has $2.3 million given back to Minnesota's general fund in the last 2 years, so it sounds as if it's greater than $1 million a year. Is that part of the budget calculation, the expectation there would be this, or whatever ends up resulting goes back to general fund? So if there's $1 million difference, basically doesn't that mean that there'd only be a couple hundred thousand dollars coming back to the general fund instead of, I'm trying to understand, you know, money comes back, I assume it's excess from expenses. Well, if there's less upfront funding, don't you just end up with less excess money at the end to give back to the, it's just a curious question about
that. Yeah, Commissioner, if you could explain what that block, it's a little confused. It makes it look like $2.3 million was given back because of the budget cut or something like that. If you could explain what that block means.
Mr. Chair, Deputy Carlson is prepared to answer that, but I think the essence of the question is MinCorp is a profitable business, and this 2.3 was part of the previous budgeting from this committee in the Senate of the final agreement what surplus funds from the profits would go back into the general fund.
Go ahead, ma'am, with your name and title.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Terry Carlson. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Facilities Division. Thank you for your question and for clarification. The 2.3 that went back was not money that was given to us by the legislature, as the Commissioner said. It's money that's made through the sales and goods that we work on within our prison industry. So it's money that this committee and committees chose to take from us. And a while back, the legislature authorized us to have up to 6 months in operating dollars set aside in the event that we would have a shutdown of a business or a major issue in one of our business units, and it's from that money that these monies being considered would be taken. And right now we only have $3.7 million unencumbered dollars set aside. A 6 month operating pot would be about $12 million. So we're already woefully low in that area and are very concerned that if a business unit would have an issue, like if the laundry would have a big fire and we wouldn't be able to complete that, that we'd need those dollars to help get that business restarted. If one of our primary customers that we partner with would pull out, we would use those dollars to get another business in to set up more work for our offenders. So we are concerned about the $1 million.
If you would, ma'am, give us a breakdown then of what you've definitely have committed, what and the difference between that and what you'd like to spend and what you think you've got uncommitted
Mr.
or
Chair,
emergencies.
Mr. Chair, we have $3.7 million unencumbered and uncommitted at this point in time. And
we took $1 million, you'd have 2.7.
Correct. And I don't have the detail in front of me of the monies that we have encumbered, but I can certainly get that to you if you're interested.
Okay, thank you. Representative Schoen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I maybe just since it's corrections moment, I'll ask a question about this too. But you know, you made the comment about how in those deficit years everybody just kind of hides, but you know, when I was first elected, we did have just a small deficit when the Democrats came in and in control, and we fixed it. But when they showed up, even then before that, they were telling us they got problems and we got to fix it. And the employees, the good union employees, the guards have been down here pounding their fists nonstop about the problems they have. So people have been asking, It's just about the response. None of the folks in the commissioner's office, I've never seen Commissioner Roy or Commissioner Dolman come down and slam their fists on the table and say, we got to fix this or people are going to die. They do it as politically correct and not to poke anybody in the chest or the eye, because that's just what they do. They're there for their marching orders from the governor, and we all get that. But I hear what they're saying, and they've been saying for years, in certain areas we have this issue, and if we don't have the money, then we're going to have a problem. But since the Commissioner of Corrections is sitting here, I mean, we had a small noteworthy hearing that Representative Miller had a bill here that you support on opening up the prison in Appleton, and that's going to take a significant amount of funds of people. Even if the lease didn't come through this committee, if that's the goal we're going to go to or the direction we're going to go, I mean, that's not even noted in your bill or the budget. So is that not something that you're pushing for now at this point? I'm just curious, because it's not in the funding mechanism here for the finance.
The Appleton question?
Yeah.
I think the Appleton question will only happen once the prisons run out of space, when we don't fund their bonding proposals. And then they'll have to face the fact that we're going to have to use Appleton. And we'll have to come back in the majority to do that, of course. But I think it's going to come down to that. I don't think, because of the union fight against it, just for the sake of a union fight, that it will ever happen on its own. So it'll have to be a forced issue by us not expanding prison space. So then we come to the fact that we run out of room, then maybe we'll address it seriously. Best answer I can give.
Representative Cornish, well, I mean, we're out of room. I mean, we're 500-700 beds short. And that's not the issue. I was just curious. You're not going to be pushing it this year, then? Is that what I'm understanding? Because it's not funded. I mean, this is the finance committee that would have to fund the staff. And I mean, we didn't have a fiscal note on it to begin with. I was just curious if we had any progress on that, or they just didn't ask for it or push for it.
Yeah, I don't know if you mean by pushing it. I guess we still believe in it and want it, but I think it'll only take the stark reality of running out of room before it'll happen. That'll be the triggering event. So, but we still believe in it, but the governor and the Senate has said they're not interested, so we're going to spend our time in what we think we can actually accomplish.
Okay, and just one more time, Chair Cornish. I mean, they've told us we're out of room, right? I mean, we've got prisoners out in county beds. Like, to the tune of 700, Commissioner, 500. So it's not that the room is there. I mean, we're utilizing other spaces. But, yeah, I hear the direction you're going, so thank you.
When they open up the gates and they start fleeing across the grass, then I guess we'll be out of room. All right. Now, Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to just express some concern about this as well from the human aspect. Besides just the numbers of beds, we're putting people in jeopardy when we don't provide the manpower and the services. And most of these people are going to come back into our communities, and we're not giving them the money to be able to provide the services that they're mandated to do. So I'm really concerned about taking the money from MnCOR and not providing the money that's needed, that they've told us they need. And I realize you've got a budget limit, but I just want to express some real concern that we're not doing the responsible thing to do some prevention and interventions where we're supposed to, and then doing the proper interventions of the men in the prisons, and keeping people safe by providing the manpower that's needed.
The best explanation of our budget this year would be, I think it's evident to, I don't know, all the committee and the people in the room and the people up there in TV land, that we'll never have enough money. Here we are with a huge surplus, and still people wants and needs and crises, and I don't think we'll ever be able to shovel enough money out of the back of the truck to satisfy all the state agencies' wants, needs, welfare. And so we are faced with the decision of making decisions. And a lot of the people out there want broadband, transportation, and tax relief. And you can't do everything. And so we took the money from the least harmful area of the budget. We could have drained specialty courts, but I don't think anybody wants to do that. But So we come up with our plan, and we will debate it until May. What is it, 23rd or 4th?
23rd.
3rd. All right. Anybody else? Anybody on the crowd? Thank you very much, Commissioners. Anybody else? Commissioner Dolman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate just a few minutes of your time, and I will be brief as well. As we plan for this session and the potential for the supplemental budget, we had our divisions in our agency submit all of their what they thought were critical needs, and then we took another step and evaluated what we really thought was critical and what we thought could wait until another budget or the next budget session. Under the jurisdiction of this committee, we had one ask, and that was to $650,000 ask for the second year of this. Sorry, didn't mean to do that to your representative. $650,000 ask for the second year of this biennium, and $1 million ongoing, and that is to fund 8 new scientists for our DNA lab. Over the past 5 years, we've seen an increase of about 57% case submissions that require DNA forensic testing. Most of these cases are violent crime cases, and our desire is to have turnaround time for these cases at around 30 days, and we are currently at just over 80 days for turnaround time on these cases, and we believe it is a critical public safety issue and risk if we don't have the ability to have that turnaround time closer to 30 days. And so it is not in this bill, and I would just ask if there is any room for consideration to reconsider our ask that is included in the governor's supplemental budget that you do that. I would be very grateful. And I have the superintendent and the assistant superintendent of the lab in the audience too to answer any questions that I might not be able to answer if you have them.
Okay, Representative Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought it would be worthwhile to note that when a commissioner comes in and says critical, I see that as a fist slamming on the desk. But I know
my
Commissioner
hands were
Dolman
flat on the table.
Won't do that.
Representative.
Commissioner Dolman, could you maybe give us the next three that are pushing the limits of critical? And this is the issue that I have, is that we commonly say that as good soldiers, that well, we'll march through, we'll come back next year, and we'll limp this along, and I don't want to put the superintendent in a tough spot, but I mean, I guess that's why he gets paid the average salary of a person in your position.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Representative Schoen, my name is Drew Evans. I'm the superintendent at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I'll tell you, even within our laboratory, when you ask about other critical needs, our turnaround time for drug chemistry, for example, with the large increase in drugs throughout the state of Minnesota, is pushing over 100 days. And so there's other laboratories within the BCA and other needs, such as critical infrastructure in some of our programs in our MINGIS division as well. There's a predatory offender system that has some needs that we're working on. There are other needs that we go, and this is what the request of the commissioner's office was, obviously, in this, is to evaluate where our critical needs are. And because, as the commissioner noted, with our DNA testing, many of those cases are concentrating on violent crimes, and we work very diligently to get those results out in that time frame, primarily to identify suspects of crimes quickly so that answers can be made for the local law enforcement that these services are provided throughout the state, and just as importantly, to exonerate those people that are under suspicion by law enforcement that these tests may show they were not responsible for a crime. So that's why we consider a need like this critical at this juncture and not in an upcoming budget session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know that he had plenty of others, but I maybe to push just a little bit harder, Superintendent. I mean, if you had your next top three, what are the next top three things that are not critical this year but are going to be critical next year because now we pushed them out 5 years?
Director, go ahead.
Chairman Cornish and Representative Schoen, I mean, that's obviously difficult. That's a conversation that we're obviously going to have with our commissioner's office. We regularly are identifying needs, and the nature of an agency like the BCA is we shift and shift those priorities based on the needs of law enforcement agencies like the one you work for, and to make sure that we're meeting those needs. So it's a little bit difficult now. Those were the answers that we were providing to the commissioner's office at that time, and DNA is really our number one priority because of the importance that it has in the criminal justice system.
Well, thank you, Chair Cornish. I think you and I share a passion for the work that they do at the BCA and helping our local agencies, but especially now as law enforcement is under more scrutiny than any time in history, that we need the BCA. We need their resources immensely, and our communities need them all over the state, and more communities are using them, as we've seen. And so I hope that you'll go back, Representative Cornish, and remind everybody in your caucus and leadership that this is one that needs to be taken under and added. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members.
Anyone else in the agencies or the public want to testify? Yes. Go ahead, sir, with your name and title.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Matt Wollman. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to draw your attention to, if we may, to the A2 amendment language. On line 1.14, it broadens the account use for avian influenza and any animal disease emergency. And I just wanted to suggest that the committee might want to consider using for avian influenza and any agricultural related emergency. Agriculture faces a lot of threats, a wide variety of threats, from agriculture to crop diseases to bioterrorism and alike. This would be consistent with what the Ag Finance Committee is currently working on in terms of looking at the avian influenza money from last session in their finance, their omnibus finance bill, making it for both livestock-related emergencies as well as crop and other emergencies. So just something for the committee to consider.
Thank you, sir. I think it's probably not a bad idea. It does expand it more, though, wouldn't it, once we get out of animal and say any agricultural disease emergency?
I'm sorry, Mr.
Would that expand it even more? Because we're talking about animals, but you say insert something about any agricultural.
Yeah,
agricultural animal or agricultural disaster.
I think you make my suggestion to you, Mr. Chair, would be that you make it agricultural related. That would go beyond animals. So if you had a major soybean rust outbreak or bioterrorism, etc., we would be able to respond not just to animals but also to other types of emergencies that could emerge.
I see what you mean. This would really open it up. So if you would take that up with Representative Hamilton, if there needs to be changes made, I mean, we can make an amendment in Ways and Means, which it'll have to pass.
I know we have had some consultation with Chairman Hamilton as well, and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hilstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I was just going to ask how much money is left in this contingency account, and how much is set aside, and if you do broaden it in that fashion, how much money would they have access to? Because you don't want to dilute it so much that you actually don't accomplish anything.
Mr. Walsh, do you have an idea?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilstrom, as of about a week ago, there was, I believe, $19.3 million in the disaster contingency account that was available for matching FEMA or the avian influenza.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so that would be for everything that would be a tornado, a flood, everything that this would directly compete with the rest of that money, or is this specifically money that has previously been set aside just for the avian influenza?
Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilstrom, it could potentially compete with that money. The account was set aside to be able to pay for FEMA match, or originally was set up to pay for FEMA match that could be done immediately without the need for a special session for a disaster bill. The avian influenza was added as an additional use in our omnibus bill last year.
I think it was Representative Pawlowski's idea, wasn't it, this one?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And we'll probably be hearing from him on the House floor.
Sure.
All right, thank you, sir. Oh, Representative Schoen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. The language that you're suggesting, is that what is being put into language in other statutes of similar? I mean, are you trying to make sure that we have it standard across the board, and you're just asking us to change to something that's already in statute or being worked on?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in the Omnibus Ag Finance Bill that's currently under consideration in Representative Hamilton's committee, we have avian influenza money that we're in that bill is being repurposed for to allow for preparation and response to agricultural related emergencies, whether it's animal disease or otherwise. And so the suggestion that I made would make it consistent with what's currently being proposed in that bill.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I mean, I'm sure that I'm not saying make it today, but it sounds like this is something we probably should do, because the next outbreak could be on dairy farms or anything else. And if that leaves us susceptible in some way, we could have a bovine issue again, or whatever else may come along. That if we're just putting avian influenza because of the dust-up we had last year related to trying to pass legislation to help folks related to that, I think we're maybe limiting ourselves, it seems. But so I like the concept, and it seems like it's worthwhile. So
I'm surprised that your knowledge of agriculture uses the word bovine. There's people out there in TV land in front of, what in the world is a bovine?
Well, Chair Cornish, you left the door open. I thought it was important for me to stand up because Commissioner Fredrickson was my neighbor as a child. I grew up a mile away from him. And so if I don't stick up for him, he'll call my mom. And he says that quite regularly whenever I have to testify, or he testifies in front of a committee I'm on. So would you let him know that he does not need to call my mom?
All right. Any other questions? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am sympathetic with the flexibility this would give. However, I don't want to limit it because there are non-domesticated issues. CWD and the pions, they can cross over to agriculture and other animals. And so when you do the wording, maybe make sure that you can handle. You understand what I'm saying, because there are elk herds and deer herds, but they are not domesticated. That, and you're talking very expensive to take care of those situations. So, just a hope that we can make sure when we get flexible, it's not limiting us in those situations.
Thank you, sir. All right. Representative Hilstrom, did you have any closing comments before we send
I do, if we're ready for final closing comments.
I think so.
Mr. Chair, I'm disappointed with the target that you got. I'm not necessarily surprised with how you chose to do that in taking MNCOR money, as we have done those kinds of things in the past and in an attempt to balance the budget. I'm disappointed that at a time when we do have a budget surplus that public safety was not considered a priority in the budget targets that you were given from the speaker. So, Mr. Chair, I'm hoping between now and the end of the legislative session that we have the ability to work with the governor on his budget priorities and attempt to fund some of the critical needs that we have here in Minnesota. And so, Mr. Chair, I'm slightly hopeful that this is not rolled into a bigger bill, so that folks who actually work in public safety all the time have the ability to negotiate what funding priorities there should be in the area of public safety. So I'm hopeful that this bill gets better as it moves along and not worse, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hilstrom. I think all sorts of things will probably happen to the bill. I remember when we were closed session before, in the last hours, all the back and forth did. We ended up with something completely different than what we started with. So, any other comments from our group today? Okay, hearing none, the chair will move House File 291 as amended to be referred to Ways and Means. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Oh.